I didn't tell you the best part. He loves the environment. Oh, wait, I still didn't tell you the best part. He's got an Irish brogue. No, wait. I still didn't tell you the best part. He's not imaginary.
Oh, honey, that's great. But the very best thing is that he listens to you. Because nothing means more than for a man to... How did the pig tracks get on the ceiling?
Spider pig. Does whatever a spider pig does. Can he swing from a web? No, he can't. He's a pig. Look.
Podcast. This is Andrew.
I am high.
And you're so welcome.
Thank you.
Motherfuckers. How long are you guys going to keep yourself?
Till at least the first or second of February.
Cool. We brought someone on the podcast. Someone who if I were to give him a middle name, because honestly, I don't think I actually know his middle name right now, I would call him Shenanigans. Right? He's calling all the way from Canada, which means he's in the future by an hour at the very least. This is Ryan Shenanigans McNeil of the Matinee. How are you doing?
That's actually pretty close. I'm getting flashbacks to when my mom would yell at me when I was in trouble.
Did she call you Shenanigans?
She called me many things, man. You have met my younger brother. I am not the favorite.
Well put. Well put.
And he knows. That's the part that sucks, is that he knows. And I'm well, by the way. I'm very well. Thank you for inviting me on the show. It's always fun to be here.
That's good. I asked you on because we had a very important film to discuss. We needed to talk about animal rights. We needed to talk about Korea and revenging and being in America and maybe not revenging as much. So we're going to be talking about Bong Joon-ho's Okja, the latest film to be booed at Cannes and show up on Netflix.
We needed a miracle. And then we got one. This beautiful and special little creature will be a revolution in the livestock industry. Our super pigs will not only be big and beautiful, they will also leave a minimal footprint on the environment, consume less feed, and produce less excretions. And most importantly, they need to taste fucking good.
I have to say that I'm disappointed with this movie because nobody went wee 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 all the way home. Not one person.
Didn't Gyllenhaal do it at some point?
I was disappointed that nobody said, "That'll do, Okja, that'll do." Like, how did they seriously get 2 hours and not make a single reference to Babe?
I don't know. They didn't call George Miller before they made it. George Miller?
Okja, Fury Road.
He did Babe too.
Yeah. I like this, just dead silence. Shitty pork jokes and dead silence.
So this movie involves a young girl who grows up with the super pig Okja in Korea on her farm, and it's finally come the day where the company that gave her that pig has called for the pig back to determine whether it's the winner in the competition and take it all the way to America. This young girl doesn't quite take hold of that concept of the pig leaving her. So she goes for the pig and goes on a journey to go and rescue Okja.
Revenging.
From America.
Right. She murders how many people?
A few.
Okay. Several.
Pig murder. That's
same not
thing.
Real murder. It's breakfast.
No, I first encountered Bong Joon-ho with his film Mother, which mm-hmm. was... That was the first one I saw. Like, I knew people had been talking about films like The Host, but I hadn't quite seen that yet.
You know what was the first one I saw? And it wasn't even a movie. It was one of the segments of Tokyo. You remember
I didn't
that movie?
That.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, he did the one in The Host, right?
Yeah, the on-off switch yeah. one. Yeah.
Hikokomori. Sucks. Hikokomori. Which was a very interesting short. But he's come a long way. He's made films such as Snowpiercer, as well as this recently, Okja. And Memories of Murder was one of his big breakouts, which I saw recently. He's a filmmaker who feels to break the general tropes of Korean filmmaking. He has these crime dark stories, but they never go the way that we all of the top most popular exports from that country have gone exactly. They're very lukewarm in their ending, where they make you contemplate life and what's going on in the real world, as opposed to glorifying
murder.
Pig murder and things like that.
Revengeance.
Damien,
hi.
You are a expert
mm-hmm.
in the world of Korean cinema.
Korean
on this
murder?
Podcast.
Yes.
you could call him a revengeophile.
I'll
a revengeonomist.
On the scale of boring to Man from Nowhere.
No, the scale isn't. No, the scale is I Saw the Devil at the very top.
Oh, I assume Man from Nowhere was at the top.
And Lady Snowblood 2.
But that's not even
that's
Korean.
Japanese.
Doesn't matter. We established this a long time ago. They're all Chinese.
Wow.
I'm just going to keep this going.
Wow.
Because it's so much
Where
fun.
Does this movie fall for you?
This movie is nowhere near I Saw the Devil. Listen. I don't give two Fs about animal rights. So this movie wasn't ever going to be anywhere near the top, because I figured that this movie... Once I saw the little girl running around with the pig, I went... They're
I don't
going
think
to take
animal
this.
Rights was really where this
no,
movie
just hold
went.
On, just hold on. I don't think this movie is going to be the thing that I want this movie to be. And sure enough, it wasn't. It's boring. It's 2 hours. And I did not like it. I wasn't fascinated with the story. The super pig thing, I guess, could have been more interesting, but the story that is being told, I just wasn't on board for the movie. It, like, I don't know, like, none of it feels, I know it's Korean, but it doesn't feel Korean. And while I accept that most of the movies that I love from Korea are one note.
Are on
that
this one
note
scale.
Is awesome,
right?
Right.
It still doesn't help this movie when I compare it to any of them. Like, what I wanted is another Stoker, someone to take a Korean director, hand them US money, and go use Americans and make a movie, I guess. And Stoker is the benchmark for what you can do if, I guess, people aren't looking, because regular people shouldn't watch Stoker. You have to know what you're in for to watch that and enjoy that. And I'm one of those people. And this movie, like, it is too dark to be a children's movie, but it is not, in my view, it's not adult enough to bring up any adult conversations about the movie. It's a giant toy that she wants back, and she escapes. I'm sure her family were thrilled to find out that she disappeared to run down a giant cow. pig, whatever it is. And when the movie ended, I was just like, all right, I did it. Netflix has a metric that I watch the movie that I probably shouldn't have seen. So can't wait to see what they use that as suggestions for. But you'll see.
So, Ryan, in this ever-growing world of film going, where the world is starting more and more to call your home the cinema and the cinema the place you don't want to be, has Netflix done it for you? Has Okja made that decision harder for you?
No, see, it's funny. Actually, hang on a second. I gotta let a cat out. Hold on. That's not a euphemism. See, I actually let a cat out.
Headphones and a cat.
Funny thing. I actually had the opportunity to see this in a theater if I wanted to. So this was the decision, was do I sit on my couch and just watch this thing for free in a service that I pay for monthly? Or do I get in my car, go downtown, and pay $7.50 to watch this on a big screen? And I did not. I fully planned to. I just had a moment of supreme sloth wash over me at the back half of this holiday weekend, and just decided, nope, screw it. I'm going to stay home and I'll watch it on the couch. And now looking back, I am kind of happy I did, because I liked this movie. I didn't love this movie. And I think one of the reasons why I liked it was because it was very, very low risk. If I was in the theater and fully immersed in it and, you know, taking time out of my schedule, I don't know if I would have latched onto it as much. I certainly would have latched onto this in a festival environment. That's why I don't really understand why the Cannes people booed. Because during TIFF, I would have eaten this up. But on just like a regular Sunday night in July, I don't know that I would have gone for this.
I think the Cannes people booed because it wasn't going to ever be shown in theaters.
Yeah, that was a big thing, apparently. Mm. That in France, there's a law stating that you have to give it X amount of days at least. And Netflix was like, no, we're putting it straight online. And so France decided they're not going to show it in theaters.
Yeah.
And literally the crowd booed every time the Netflix logo showed up.
No, I think
up.
It's the opposite way. I think something, it had something to do with, like, unless you, if you're going to put it in theaters, unless you do it for a certain amount of time, then it can't go online. So the fact that they did put it in theaters means they can't actually have it on Netflix in France or some shit like that. It's a crazy, like,
I'm like 99% sure I'm right. But yeah.
But it's also that the Cannes audience likes to boo stuff.
Yeah, that was my joke when I read that story, that I don't get why people are making a big deal about this. I thought booing at Cannes was like the thing to do.
Cannes is like the only festival I don't think I want to go to. Well, they seem like jerks all the time.
That's why I want to go. It's like a whole other planet.
No,
man.
I want to spend that type of money to then punch 19 people for being jerks. It's a movie. Do you booing? Guys
I
need
know-
lives.
I liked this movie. I spent most of the movie trying to figure out exactly who Jake Gyllenhaal was doing. I couldn't come up with it. Like Lindsay was saying, is he doing Nicolas Cage? I'm like, no, I don't think so. The closest I could come up with was that he was doing Richard Simmons.
I like the idea. I like the idea of Jake Gyllenhaal playing Nicolas Cage. Like, I think as weird as he is and as off-putting as he is in this movie, I think he still remains a gem of this movie.
Yeah, yeah, he's one of the highlights of this movie. I was also happy that this movie brought back balance into the universe in that Paul Dano was in this movie, and once again he gets his ass kicked.
Paul Dano has a face that just gets punched.
It's a thing. Like almost every movie he's in, he gets his ass kicked, and it's one of those things I grow to wait for. Have you guys seen this movie called Youth with Michael Caine and
Michael Caine?
Yes.
And
yes, I have.
Yeah. Okay.
I like that movie a lot.
So I watched that movie next to Kurt Hallead, and like we said at the beginning of the movie, you know, he's gonna get his ass kicked. Like, he'd been gone on a string, like a whole bunch in a row of just getting beat up in every movie he was in. And then you get to the point in Youth where his whole secret is revealed. And both Kurt and I leaned forward because we're like, here it comes. And then it cut away and he hadn't got his ass kicked. And we were like Rob Corddry in Hot Tub Time Machine. We're like, come on! So I was happy. Once again, balance was restored and Paul Dano got his ass kicked. This movie's okay. Listen, Netflix really is the place for this movie because it's cute and it's sweet and it's got some interesting little scenes, but it's nothing that's really going to change the world. And Netflix is kind of the place for that.
Okay. For bad movies. All right.
No, well, I didn't say that.
Right. It's the place for War Machine, a bad movie.
I haven't watched that
one. I haven't seen that one yet.
That movie that you made us watch with whatever awesome. His face is. A bad movie.
With Melanie Lynskey and Elijah Wood.
And Elijah Wood.
What's it called again?
I don't feel home in this world anymore. Right.
Bad movie.
That movie's awesome. Screw you.
All the Netflix movies so far have been
Beasts of No Nations bad.
Yeah. People seem to love that movie.
Yeah, they can. That's fine. People can love whatever they want.
What's that, Ryan? Do you not like that movie?
I was on this podcast to talk about that movie.
Your brother and I had a long discussion. Thanks for listening.
You're welcome.
It's not great, but it's pretty good.
Yeah. I hear you. I actually don't mind this movie. This movie, I'm kind of with Ryan on this. This movie's okay. It's all right. The thing about this movie is it's not the sum of its parts because it has some wonderful parts, and we've spoken about some of them already. In particular, my favorite part of this movie, my favorite thing from this movie, is Jake Gyllenhaal. I don't know who he channeled in that character. Clearly, you know, it's some sort of like crocodile hunter kind of guy, but he is just so weird. Whenever I think of Jake Gyllenhaal in this movie, there's one. And it's not even a scene. It's the background for a half of a second in a scene when Tilda Swinton, who we need to talk about because she's great in this movie.
She's great in every movie.
But Tilda Swinton is making her announcement, her grand announcement in the beginning of this movie about this whole program where you're going to have all these super pigs.
Super pigs.
That are super great. That are going
and
to go
gonna
to...
And they're going to taste fucking good.
Yeah. And they're going to go to all of these countries. And in the background, you see Jake Gyllenhaal riding a pig with this just incredulous smile on his face and this super child molestery creepy mustache. And he's just like, it's like he's dancing and his hands are...
He's having himself a time.
I need to know something. When did mustaches become the icon of child molesters?
When people
that
grew
type
them.
Of
when men grew them. That's when it became child molestery.
Once there's, it was okay for us not to shave
and
grow that type of mustache, that is when it became.
But Gyllenhaal is superb. He is the greatest comic relief there can be in this film. Then you have Tilda Swinton, who I really love in this movie. She gets to play, again, another weird character that kind of pivots from this happy-go-lucky isn't the right phrase, but sort of airy-fairy kind of person to, at times, just clinically focused on what she's doing. And to see that move is special, especially because she's always... There's always a sense or a tinge of that airy fairiness, even in her cutthroat moments. And then...
It's like she knows every CEO has to be two people.
Yeah.
Which is weird, because this is a movie where she actually plays two people.
Yep, that is true.
I kind of love when the other Tilda Swinton appears.
I actually wasn't sure if it was going to be her playing her sister until it actually happened. I was wondering, I'm like, are they going to do this? Are they? And then they did, and it was great. Especially when she said, don't worry, I'll pretend to be you and give an apology on screen. That was fun.
I mean, clearly Bong Joon-ho has seen Hail Caesar and he's a fan.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, he did use her in Snowpiercer, so I'm pretty sure that's one of those things that any English language movie he's doing, she's a part of, you know?
If you can put Tilda Swinton to do your movie, you should go ahead and do that.
Absolutely. She
did she get paid twice, do you think?
What's
she's
that?
She's like, well, two parts. Did she get paid twice?
I don't know. I hope so.
Well,
Netflix has the money. Why not?
Yeah. That'd be great. You know, go Tilda.
I think she's fine.
What did you guys think of the? So we're in an age where, you know, effects are all CG, and that can sometimes play with the uncanny valley. Did you guys buy the creature?
I could see the moments where it wasn't real, but the thing I have to say is that
Let me spoil that bit.
Oh,
this is not real.
It's not real.
There's no super pigs.
There's no super pigs. I was waiting for that.
I was waiting for super bacon.
I was waiting for the burgers. The super burgers.
Nope.
Oh, that would be so good. Anyways, but I could tell the moments where you
hold on. Stop. Mm-hmm. Who eats super pig burgers?
I will.
That sounds wonderful.
That's a pig burger.
Nobody puts pork in burgers.
Yeah, they put bacon put pork in burgers.
Exactly.
But bacon isn't pork. Everyone knows
that. No, everybody knows that.
Chicken.
I actually know people who said to me, Douglas, I don't eat pork, but I eat bacon.
I accept
and they
that.
Say that to me with sincerity.
I accept that. There's no argument coming from me. You've done it right.
Bacon and ham.
Yeah. Again, they've done it right.
So yeah. As it relates to the effects, there are definitely more than a handful of moments where you can tell that this is just not a real pig and it's not really there and the effects aren't up to scratch as it relates to like regular high-budget filmmaking today. But at the same time, I feel like I actually enjoyed this movie a certain amount to which it didn't bother me that much that there was this lower-grade effect going on in the film. And I think it's mostly because the scenes where it really mattered as to the pig's just physicality being in the scene are things like, for example, I think there are two or three times where you see her go under the air and like whisper something to the pig. And those are the moments where I felt they stepped up their game in effects as opposed to a random shot where she's holding onto the leg. And it definitely doesn't look like it's there.
Yeah. I remember from day one or from minute one, the first time you see the pig, immediately I kind of pulled back and I was like, oh, that's not good CG. Mm-hmm. Or at least it was good CG for what we have now. But because of what they're doing, it's clear that there's pretty much nothing there. And they've overlaid everything on top of it. That, you know, we're just not there to get...
super pigs.
To get super pigs right. To get skin and all of that right. And movements.
Jungle
it's just
Book
it.
Did some good
the
work.
Jungle Book did the business.
They did. But in their defense, or in this movie's defense, whatever.
It didn't cost $400 million.
Yeah, there was that. And also, they made it kind of cartoony. Mm-hmm. So that... In a way, it didn't look real, but it was okay to not look fully real,
consistent,
you know?
Consistent enough. Yeah. It looked stylized.
Yeah.
Planet of the Apes?
Yeah, Planet of the Apes is... Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but again,
$400
billion.
Yeah.
Like, the first Planet of the Apes to the second one, you can tell that the first one, they had a budget. And then the second one, they had all of the money in the world. The second one is...
I bought him for the most part. There was one or two moments where... It was actually the moments where they were in closer. Like the scene that pedophile Stash gets in there and he's like running his hand along him. I'm like, you are touching nothing. You are running your hand along air, sir. But but other than that, like when he's running around the... subway station or that kind of thing. I was like, I buy this. You know, certainly when he's like jumping in and out of the truck, anytime he needs that weight, they kind of got it. Or when he was kind of running around his little forest, that all I totally bought. but it was usually when Okja was like sitting still and trying to be charming that I'm like, you're not there. Your two tennis balls are thick.
Yeah, they definitely picked and chose the scenes where they wanted to put the heavy work in.
Yeah.
I've had conversations where I've told people, I'm like, we are the last generation that is going to notice this shit, because everybody who's younger than us is going to be like, yeah, well, it's a special effects pig. That looks real. they're going to have grown up on this kind of effect, and it's just going to be what they accept.
I suppose.
You ask anybody younger, and we're like, yeah, the pig looks fine. What's your problem?
We're jerks that remembered what real life looks like. Get off my lawn.
Can you imagine that younger generation comes out to the movie and is like, these pigs don't look real. These real pigs. Yeah. They're CG, right?
I like those CG pigs. Those are real pigs.
That's CG no mustache on pigs. Jake Gyllenhaal. Looks real good.
Yeah.
I can't believe that at no point when they were in any of the forest scenes, like, he didn't run through like a yard and run through a red, like our red sheet,
mm-hmm.
and just even for like 10 seconds have a red sheet on top of him. It's a super pig. Come on, guys. Just once.
That's because that's why we don't let you make movies.
That is why. Like, you guys have talked about it, but the thing, like, I didn't want to say this because it makes me sound like the worst movie person, but I felt the cast was wasted. Like, I wanted more of pedophile stash and Tilda Swinton.
I wanted more Paul Dano.
Yeah, Paul Dano was great. I like Paul Dano.
I wanted more of
movie.
The people
yeah.
that are known and did their jobs.
But you know what?
But that's not what the story
I don't necessarily say. So I do want that in kind of a selfish, wanting what you know kind of way. But you know what I really wanted that they didn't do, and what I was real disappointed about? The lack of revenging. And the lack of the quality of revenging that this girl undertakes.
You shouldn't be putting Korea in a box, sir.
But what if it's a spectacular box?
This is a movie that has Giancarlo Esposito and does not get into the fray at all. And, like, this is a man who knows revenge, who knows the long... How is he not playing here?
He was the weirdest of all of them, because you just kind of see him over there and you're like, dude, that's bugging out.
Yeah.
Or that's the dude from Breaking Bad, Gus Fring, right? And you're like, I know him, he's awesome. Right. And he's just kind of in the in the corner.
Revenge. And like, no.
Yeah. He's the guy that would be like, why don't you do this? And then Tilda would be like, you know, I had a great idea. Why don't we do this? And he's like, let's do this. Which is weird, but
the way that character is done in the movie, it could have literally been anyone and we would have been fine.
Exactly.
Right?
But back to the revenging, because very important. There was none. But also, I saw...
We're also boxing Usain Bolt into track.
Exactly, yeah.
No, he's going to play football in pro level.
But I saw a trailer for this movie. I don't generally watch trailers for Netflix movies. I've watched a few now because they keep popping up all of a sudden, but I haven't done it in the past too much. And in the trailer, they sold me revenging. I saw this little girl doing things that... I mean, they essentially made... You remember that scene where she's on top of the truck and then she has to flip down so that she doesn't get hurt by the bridge? That was a major part of the trailer. And when I saw that, and they put it together in a story where they're like, pig is good, girl lose pig, girl find revenge.
Get back pig.
Exactly. Like, mm-hmm. There was no girl get back pig. I mean, there was, but there was not in the revenging style that I wanted. Because I assumed there would be some fools that got murdered because... You mess with the wrong little girl.
There are actually a group of people going after the pig, but they are against murder completely.
Yes, and that actually is
really
a fun comedic beat that they have, where they have one guy who's like, oh, he keeps falling over because he hasn't eaten enough food, because he wants to reduce his carbon footprint as much as possible. And that's dumb. Yep. And that's great. And you have Glenn, who, you know, translations are sacred and things like that. Like, so they have a lot of comedic beats in this where, to be honest, you feel like it actually might be a bit much,
it's
right?
It's a comedic beat. What you mean to say is broad, shitty stereotypes.
Sure. Sure. Except that they didn't put the right shitty stereotype because we wanted revenge stereotypes. And
that's what I want. Yeah, that's what
there was
go to Korea for.
Yeah. But the movie, I mean, it was, the production was pretty good, and
that's where we are.
Yeah,
the production is pretty good.
But when when
did you like the lighting also?
Go fuck yourself.
The cinematography.
A very big thing. You can just step over that bar.
Right.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But I always,
you have to like hop to get over it.
Right. The audio mix, did you like that?
But I always talk about a movie dragging me along and this.
Sorry, what was that, Ryan?
The craft services on this movie.
Right. Location scouting, just incredible.
Yeah. Oh, man. I mean,
I like the prop department.
The key grips were just on point. But I always talk about a movie pulling me along, and this movie pulled me along for most of the time. Listen, I don't think this movie was great. It wasn't. It was fine. But there were so many good individual moments that I will definitely always remember this movie in a positive light for the key individuals. But from an overall perspective, I was able to watch it the whole way through, not really think about, oh, this movie's overlong.
It was another high bar to jump over. Yeah. You're able to watch it the entire time.
I know.
Time.
All right, there's something I want to talk about with this movie. Be quiet now, two of you. it's something that we haven't spoken about, really. It's something that's definitely a part of the movie, even if you knew this or not. And it's about translations are sacred, mm-hmm. right? This is a movie that is in an American-Korean co-production directed by Bong Joon-ho. You have the American cast. You have the girl going from Korea to America. There's this very multicultural language cross-section going on in this movie. I read this article on Vice.com by... let me get her name right. Karen Han, talking about Okja, and she mentioned a very interesting point, right? Translations are sacred. Remember, you remember the scene in which the ALF meet up with Mija as she's trying to get back Okja.
By the way, that was a missed opportunity for a cross, cross pollination with, you know, the
Walking
puppet
Dead.
Alf.
Oh,
yeah.
And
I'm just saying.
Andrew, talk.
And this whole scene is having this conversation between Mija, who doesn't speak English, and Paul Dano, who doesn't speak Korean, all being go through Glenn, Steven Yeun, who plays Kate in the film. And she brings up something very interesting. As she says, throughout the whole conversation, it ends with this. With this point where he says, you should really learn English, it opens a lot of barriers, only to tell me that that's not actually what he said in that moment, but that's what the subtitle told us. What he actually said in that point is, my name is, and this is his name. And no, none of us here, I think, speak Korean.
Not yet.
Right? I did, however, rewatch the movie looking for that scene, and all I can tell you is the part where she wrote out his name, I heard those words. So I can't tell you whether she's right or wrong, but it does bring up an interesting idea of this concept of translations are sacred. In a film in which foreign language is being translated incorrectly to us, the viewer, for the sake of a joke or maybe even a greater point that translations are sacred, in a movie that the end of it is actually brought to absolution because she learned English, right? And was able to communicate with someone. This is I feel like, I don't think this is something where I'm about to say, this makes the movie great. Because I still am kind of with you, Douglas, that this movie, I think, wasn't the great movie that I enjoyed and I'm going to watch repeatedly. But it definitely is a really interesting thing that this article has brought to light, and something she even brought up as a question mark at the end, wondering if there's a point in the movie, if you're Korean watching this movie, where they have a bad subtitle for an English line just to kind of make the point more. But I'm curious for you guys, all of us here, who we're we constantly watch these foreign movies and we don't speak these languages. We just read subtitles and take them as best we can. Like, how does this kind of affect just your idea of that concept of translations are sacred? And just as another interesting point to this movie.
I should go last.
Is it sad that whenever I hear you say translations are sacred, now I'm thinking of a Monty Python song?
I was thinking that too.
This is my last podcast, guys.
I mean, like, I think of it, I know I've talked to people who, because I read an author named Murakami, who I adore his books, like No Tomorrow, but I've talked to people who won't read his books at all because they say, you know, the man writes in Japanese, and no matter what kind, no matter who he's employed as a translator, you're getting somebody else's version of his writing, you know? So you're never, there's no point because you're paying to read an author, not them, you're paying to somebody else interpret that author for you in every facet, so I'm not going to even bother. I've never gone quite that far, but at the same time, I do get the point, you know what I mean? Like, we're talking about art here where, you know, to steal a line off of Archer, hey, phrasing, right? So I get it, but I don't necessarily subscribe to it, but I do get it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I've thought about the same sort of thing that you were talking about a while ago, Ran, where, you know, all of these translations, they're never going to be 100%, because the truth is, on top of everything else, a lot about like what we either read, well, you're always going to probably read it, or actually no, they're dubs as well. So whether you read it or you hear it, when there's translations either in book form or in video form, a lot of the original text or original audio comes from, something, how you say things in one language is different from another one. How you say something, and the author, you know, spent hours or weeks thinking about how to put this one phrase together to make it, whether it is that it, you know, it sounded good together or it was some sort of eloquent phrasing or whatever it is. And then for you to then translate that into English or Portuguese or another language, it's never going to be the same. It's never going to have that eloquence. Or for somebody else to find something that could potentially be eloquent in the other language, it might actually be a little bit off or a lot off, as we see in this
well,
movie.
I think this is so off that it has to be intentional.
Oh, of course, right? It's intentional. It was clearly, that was the germination point for the portion of the story where she learns English. So clearly somebody said they made a bit of a change in the subplot in the script halfway during filming. They were like, we can just use that. Nobody's really going to know.
So do you think it's legitimately that they just, it wasn't an intentional thing where they intended it for how I'm viewing the narrative, mm-hmm. Or the concept of translations are sacred, but you're just saying it as, oh, they changed a little bit of the plot, so they fill that in there.
I'm a big believer in the simplest solution is probably the right one. And I think that's what happened here. But you can see it in all sorts of other movies where it's not. Sorry, Ryan, what's that?
No, finish. I sort of feel like as well that they were in on that as well, because there's that point, if you remember, when Paul Dano is getting Steven Yeun to translate for him, and he goes off on like a really long set of instructions, and Steven Yeun like three syllables, he's like, really? Is it? Okay. Like, I kind of think that was them acknowledging.
Yeah. But to me, it was definitely an active choice for these guys. And even sometimes I listen or I watch other movies, and so I am not proficient in any other language outside of English, but
I'm supposedly not proficient in English. So
there you go. but I have I've taken classes in Spanish, and so I have a very rudimentary you know, take on that like high school level. And Spanish is close to Portuguese, which so you can hear certain words once they're similar. Like, I think that's what that is. And even actually sometimes I remember watching Japanese movies and Japanime when I was younger and being like, I now know that mate means wait, and you know, being able to do that kind of thing. But sometimes I will watch a movie and see or hear what they say and then see what is written, and even with my rudimentary knowledge of whatever language it is, I'm like, no, that's a little bit off, he didn't say that, he said whatever. But it's usually never something as egregious as this. It's usually like, he said, what's your name, as opposed to good morning, your name is what, you know, very small variations. But something like this, I've definitely never caught it. But it's weird, but given that it's clearly the intention of the director, of the movie makers, and it served a purpose in the film, I'm not going to kill him over it.
All right.
This is where Damon goes, I don't give a fuck.
No, that's... Meet Joe Black is still the only movie where someone spoke Jamaican properly, right? Still the only one. The problem
Irish,
with that
he
movie,
was Irish Jamaican, right?
Right. The problem with that movie is when he was talking to the
old
Jamaican
lady. Yeah, man,
right.
I remember.
The problem with that is when you turn on the subtitles and you see them translate it.
Oh, yeah?
What they translate it into, they translate Jamaican back into English, and the translation isn't even close. And I remember getting that movie and going, that's weird. It's weird that someone spent the time to train him how to sound like a Jamaican, and then on the other end, the person doing the subtitles just said, this is close enough, and just move on. And that was one of the first time I realized, wait a second, that means that a lot of these movies that I watch, the subtitling might be not even close. And then the further you go back, so there's a couple movies from the 80s where clearly they were subtitled after the fact. And the further back you go, is the worse the subtitling is. Like, there's some movies where they say one thing, and then you read the subtitles, and it is not what the person just said. There's a lot of Westerns that fall prey to that. And I remember, this is where this sadly started. I remember the first time I got Belly and was watching it again, and reading the subtitles, and just crying. Because,
first of all,
none of it is right.
You really need to stop putting subtitles on the English language movies.
Listen to me. I needed to see it.
Actually, first of all, he needs to stop watching Belly.
Right. No, that is... You're both right. It's not going to happen, but you're both right. Watching Belly was the first... Like, I was dying with laughter because they didn't... Clearly, they're translating it so that an American audience can understand the Jamaican. When you look at the lines and what is the what is subtitled, you're just like, we speak English here. Like, some of the words are English words, so how did you guys get even those wrong? And that is when I made the executive decision to start editing subtitles.
Oh, wow.
It started there. It didn't end there. For movies that I love...
Have you done ADR yet?
No. But for movies that I love, a lot of them Korean, where the translation back into English is off by a little, like how they translate it back is not proper English. I will look at the timestamp, go into the subtitle file, and it is...
But that's different. What you're talking about is like making the English more clear once you have an idea of what it means.
That is,
you're not translating Korean.
That is where it started. But there's times when I've made, let's say, creative decisions
to change
the story,
what the person is saying altogether to suit my personal needs. I don't know. I don't know what he said, but what I translated it to is a better thing for what ultimately happened with the revenging.
You were a big choose your own adventure as a kid, weren't you?
Yeah. Holy shit, Damien. We have said many things about your media manipulation.
Yep.
That's
why I wanted to go last.
Yeah. But this one, I think, takes a cake. I've never heard this one before.
Yeah, because I'd never bring it. You guys don't like subtitles, so there's never any point for me to ever bring it up.
Can you imagine if Damien became the head of state anywhere? He'd essentially, he'd be like a dictator that put only certain things like populist propaganda on screen. And he would make sure that all movies had just the dumbest jokes in the subtitles. Like, essentially, he would put subtitles to the effect of, again, the Holy Grail subtitles. That's what would go on movies all the time.
Douglas, when I saw the Holy Grail for the first time, it was later on in life, and I realized that someone else, like me, did it. Oh no, you can write anything you want underneath. It's like it doesn't matter. And that gave
me... They had a lot of fun with that moose.
Right, yeah. That gave me even more confidence to subtly and also not so subtly change certain things that are in movies. And Douglas, I know that you think I'd be a monster when I eventually take over a small island. But it's only for me. Like, I know these are only for me and my family. But they don't know. Right? And I'll never tell them.
So what you're saying to me, essentially, is that you're pulling a dog tooth with your family.
Yep.
That movie didn't end well.
Yeah. But I could rewrite it. Maybe it would end better.
I think we've hit a new space.
I want to stop, but it's too late. I edit movies. I edit music.
Ryan, I want to let you understand that I have known this gentleman for a long time now. For, let's say, 15 years now.
Yeah, at least.
I'm more frightened of you now than I've ever been in my life.
See, but what I'm thinking is, like, in my mind, you know, Douglas is saying like he'd insert populist propaganda. That's not it. Like, for me, what would worry me more is he changes something innocuous.
Yeah.
Like something like, you know, the character says, "Pass me the red," and he changes it to no, that won't do. He says, like, "Pass me the bourbon." You know, it's like some small little change that makes no never mind to the plot, but suits Damien's needs better in a way that only he understands.
Yeah, you're 100% correct. That is literally what I'm doing. I'm afraid. Yep. The first one was damn it, Lady
Vengeance.
Lady Vengeance, okay. Right. After editing the movie, because it doesn't end where it was supposed to, when you watch the movie a second time, you realize that because I ended prematurely, the last scene doesn't adequately wrap up what happens. So I did. No, it does.
Oh my god.
Did you just put in a title card?
No, I just changed the final scene before they come out of the room where they stab the guy a million times. I just changed what the last person says. And then the movie ends.
Damien, I swear to God, man, you need to put on a film festival.
No. Because the filmmakers would murder me.
No, people would pay. People would pay. They'd be like, you know, stand up and go, okay, welcome everybody. Tonight we're going to show, oh boy, I didn't like this line. Oh boy. See, if you can, I'll be in the back. You get a coupon to the next film.
Yep. Here we go, guys. It's a 30-minute cut of the Matrix trilogy.
Hey, guys, you like the Matrix? Yeah? How about if there's no talking in the Matrix?
Yeah.
I've got that version. I've nailed it down. Neo learns Kung Fu. That's just a black screen. That is what it says. And then he fights. And it's perfect. It's a perfect movie.
It's like a silent movie. There's just these intertitles every now and then. It says, you know, something like, dialogue, 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 and then they're back to fighting again.
No, I just tell them what the plot is. Neo learns Kung Fu. Neo tries to save Trinity.
Yeah.
Neo tries to save Morpheus.
Weird, naked rave, and now they're fighting again.
Yep.
Yep. I'm telling you, man, people would go.
I should.
Yeah.
One day.
Interesting. I thought this article would bring an interesting conversation in this podcast. I didn't think it would take us here.
Yeah, we went far afield.
Yeah, there's a reason I told you I wanted to go last. if I said that first, you just go, I hate Damien, I'm not doing this podcast anymore.
I got it. We'll call the festival Damientations.
I mean, it's the DC. It's the movies DC. Normalist directors.
The Damien cut.
Hey, it says DC on...
Do you actually put that in Cody, like it says DC?
Yes, it does.
Do you keep the original version?
So when you
no,
when,
I do not.
When you ask Cody to search for trailers, does it just give you like Wonder Woman trailers? Is
But watch movies at Damien's place, I'd be so confused.
You'd be like, I've seen this movie before. I know there's more to it, Damien. You're lying to me.
Yeah. It's happened with music. Like people have come over and heard me listening to music. And where's the rest of that song? I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, we've actually been talking about, so we're going to talk about some music later,
yeah.
Ran. And a few podcasts ago, a few episodes ago,
Damien
kept talking about how this song we were talking about was on a specific album, and I had to search because I couldn't remember it on the album, and apparently he just decided to interpolate it into his version of the album.
It's on my version of the album. I don't know what you people are talking about.
Oh, God.
I like what I like. Leave me alone.
I'm calling all the distributors. We're going to get this settled.
It's mine. I paid for it. I'm not distributing it to anybody. Leave me alone.
But you're going to show up at your door soon. All right, moving on. I think we're all done with this movie.
Yep.
Is anything I have anything else to say about Okja before we move along? No.
Can't wait till I get into buying art and then repainting parts of the art.
Sorry, what was that, Ron?
I said this movie left me really hungry.
Yeah. You should have gotten them cold cuts.
Yeah. This movie in the same week, man. I was really hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, this is a part of the podcast where I ask people if anyone wants to talk about anything. And I'm going to start out by saying Edgar Wright made a movie this year, and we've all seen it.
Yup.
Mm-hmm.
Some more than others.
I want it to go a second time. But Kerb sucks. Oh, God. Damn it.
Yeah, no. Andrew actually asked me, he was like, Douglas, you want to go to this movie? And I asked him, are you going to Carib? He said yes. And so I said no.
Like, we have any other options.
You could go Sovereign.
No, I said options.
How about you?
What? That place, the last thing Ran, showed was Hero.
When you actually come down here, you need to go to Carib.
No, don't do that.
No, I got to. There's no, like, there's it's either you're short selling it and it's really terrible, or you're sugarcoating it and it's not that bad. I don't feel like, I feel like you're missing the mark, you know?
There are worse days and there are better days.
Yeah.
Right? I fear that you would come and you'd get a better day and you'd be like, it's not that bad. I mean, sure, it's not my theater, but...
So, for instance, when we watched Wonder Woman, we watched it in a room with no AC. So, there was no air conditioning. And I don't know if you realize, but we live in a tropical island. So
they didn't crack a window for
us. Yeah, it gets real hot real quick.
It's warmer than 32?
Oh, God damn it, Celsius.
I don't measure temperature. It's hot and hotter.
32. Okay, Google. What is 32 degrees Celsius?
In real temperature.
I hope Google tells you on temperature.
No, that's a joke.
That's Google 89 degrees. Yeah, no, way hotter than that.
Okay. It's hot.
Yeah. It's actually been real hot out here lately. It's been in summer, like the 90s to... I don't know if it's touched the hundreds yet.
I doubt it, but it feels like it.
Yeah, and super humid, so it's not fun.
Oh, Lord.
But what is fun is an Edgar Wright movie
yes.
that came out, mm-hmm. Baby Driver.
Yes.
And oh my goodness, I'm so happy. I'm also happy.
Intermission.
As I have told the internet, I think this movie actually cured cancer. And no one can disprove it, because right. when I left the theater, I didn't have cancer.
That's technically right. I also don't have cancer. So
it cured you.
Yep. I'll just keep watching it once a year. And as long as I don't get cancer, you guys can't prove otherwise.
Hear what, Andrew? Do you check up? Yeah. Let's see how that shit goes for you.
But no, Baby Driver. Ran had a fun podcast talking about Baby Driver and how it's a musical. And I'm only hoping that someone hears this.
Nope. Nope. She has headphones on now. And might I add, fuck you. I mean, listen, I stand by that statement that it is something of a musical.
It is. It is something of a musical.
Wait, hold on. Ryan, do you not like musicals?
I love musicals, and I'm saying that this movie, in the way that it's got long, elaborate, choreographed sequences and moments where we are understanding Baby Driver better through the song that is playing literally in his head, it makes it something of a musical, like certainly musically informed,
mm-hmm.
musical adjacent, if you will, if not a full-blown musical, because nobody sings.
Okay, but... Your problem is just that it's not a musical.
Yeah.
No. His problem is that I was making a joke about his podcast in which he said the very same thing, and then his wife heard that from around the corner and just dropped in.
I got away with that for all of maybe 30 seconds.
Ah.
The screen door opened, and there was a chair and a table for two.
Okay.
Everybody, go and listen to Rand's Baby Driver podcast.
Yes, I did see it come out recently, and... I'm thinking about it. I feel bad because I never listen to all of my podcasts. I have so many unlistened podcasts right now, and
unsubscribe.
I need to figure out more podcast time is what I need to do. To be quite honest,
I listen to them in my sleep, so I get it through
osmosis. Oh, osmosis. Yeah, makes sense.
This one definitely.
Yeah, I mean, I personally wouldn't call this a musical, but as you said, Ryan, it's definitely very musically inclined.
One person
and music,
dances, so
music
it can't
becomes.
Be a musical.
You just don't want it to be a musical
exactly.
because you don't like musicals, Damian.
I mean,
but this
you're
is
not wrong.
This is like music is a big part of what this movie is, and you can't get around that. And mm-hmm. that's a good thing because I love most of the music in this movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
This movie is. I wanted to go back and watch this. Movie, but I refuse to go to Carib alone, never again.
It's a scary place.
It's true. It's like a Leo.
Huh? Yeah.
How many times am I going to be able to make that joke
oh
and get
God.
That response out to you?
I hate Douglas so much. Like the second I saw your mouth open, I knew I was coming. Still got me. Damn it. But, Andrew had like some doubt because Andrew's like, I'm going to go and watch this movie again and again. And I said, yeah, but you have to come to Carib. And he was like telling me all the movies I came back to Carib to watch. He thinks I don't like this movie as much as him, but he's incorrect. I love this movie. I hate Carib so very much.
You like this despite?
Yeah. Like, I tried to convince someone to come so that I could go and watch that movie again, and it didn't happen. And I just kept, like, when I got to Carib by myself, I just sit down and stare at the building and hate myself and the building and can't really focus on enjoying the movie because of my fervent hatred for Carib. Right? But this movie, like, from the movie begins, you're like, this movie is something special. And then it continues, and all of the other actors in the movie played so well.
John Hamm is so fucking awesome in this movie.
Like, every single person, just,
Motherfucker
like,
Jones.
They know what they're making,
and you can tell that they enjoyed making this stupid movie.
I love the cartoony nature of all of the characters, where they're all these people who have their own quirks and traits that just stand out. You know, Bats is this crazy ass dude who has to say that line before every heist.
Yep.
John Hamm is that guy who's just there being like, yeah, whatever. I mean, the only disappointment is we didn't get another scene with Punisher dude.
Yeah.
So we could kind of nail down his character definitively. I mean, we could say we know what his quirk is, right? But unless you see it repeat, you know, you can't say whatever.
I like the old blind man.
More car chase?
Sorry?
Like, is it weird that I wanted one more car chase? The way this movie is sold, there's actually shockingly little driving in this movie. There's two chases. That's it. I really could have done with one more.
They're like two big chases. Like, the end is like car driving, but it's not like as big and like sprawling as those opening chases where they're like, look, he's going to win this. Right? The second one is more like the dirty gunfight where you're not sure who's going to go through, and because of the dirtiness of it, it isn't this big set piece. But I enjoyed it.
I wanted one more at the end. Like, yeah. I really thought John Hamm and he should have been driving like against each other at the end.
Yeah, but you know what, though? I really liked the way that they handled that, where it wasn't just driving, right? They had the chases, but also a big part of it was just how elegant this guy was, that baby was. He was essentially doing parkour without doing parkour, you know, jumping across tables and things like that. And that in itself was beautiful.
It was the gun cut off driving.
Exactly.
I actually love, like, I mean, the people talking about this movie, talking it musical, like, it's one of these things where it's a music video movie. All of the music plays to the action, and the action plays to the music. And weirdly enough, it's just so happy to me to find every one of those beats where the action just interlaces into it. So, like, the opening scene is where it's really obvious where they have the Bell Bottom song, mm-hmm. which, by the way, I didn't know that song before this movie. There are a lot of songs in this movie that I actually didn't really know. And, like, this morning at work, I actually listened through that album. And I quite liked it.
The Blues Kitchen guys love those people. They're the Blues Explosion, I think they're called. Yeah, they were going crazy about it the week before this movie came out.
I actually gave my headphones over to like other people in my office, saying like, "Listen to this song, playing the Bell Bottom song," and just enjoyed watching their faces go like, "Andrew, you're a fucking crazy person. Yeah. What did you just give me?"
This is Vibes Cartel.
And then my favorite part about it is like one person got so upset at the song that like turned to some girl that I don't really talk to, and she's like, "Come here, like." Yeah, I have to play you this crazy shit this guy's giving me. And then told me to rewind and play. And she's just like, no, this is awesome. And I'm like, oh, you're my new friend. I love that. But like, there is a sequence later on with the song Tequila. And there are moments where the gunshots just
I love that.
And like, it's a kind of thing where like, if you've seen this movie, you know it's coming, then you know it's there. But the first time you're watching it and you just hear it match up in that way, you're like, I know that it's not that hard to edit around if you do the footage right, but still, it just feels so good to see
Pretty good,
it.
Yeah.
And there are a couple other songs that definitively, they match up. And not just like the walking scene early in the movie with the when he's getting the coffee, but just like the action itself, in how the music plays out. And my God, this movie is just a joy.
And there's a moment where they even like call it out. You remember, it's the first time I think he works at Bats, and they're about to get out, and he says, whoa, stop, we've been talking, hold on, I need to rewind the song. Right. And he rewinds the song, and he presses play, and they still can't go out because there's a specific point in the song when they can go out, and he's like, okay, you're good to go.
Yeah.
And I thought that was just like them calling out exactly what they wanted to do with this movie. Yeah. They're just like, listen, my name is Edgar Wright, I'm a crazy person.
I can do this.
Yeah.
Oh boy, I
I'm Damian White and I love musicals.
I watched Fast and Foolishness 8 at home properly.
Yeah, I did that the other day.
And it made me very angry.
Did you not like it anymore?
No, because I realized that I realized just how much more I'm going to enjoy Baby Driver once I get it at home.
Mm-hmm.
Looking proper and sounding proper.
Yep.
Because we gave Vin Diesel a lot of shit for grumbling throughout that movie. But he sounds like a person at home.
So wait a second. You're saying that when you saw this movie at Carib, it didn't sound right?
Yeah, no. The speakers aren't great inside the theater.
Oh, Jesus. Because, like, the sound design of this movie is off the hook.
No, we know that, like, sound that comes through, but the speakers there
but
aren't
the sound
great.
Oh, God. The sound design of this movie is so good that when somebody takes out, like, Baby's left earphone, the music cuts on the left side.
Oh, I did not know
that.
That
did not happen, you know.
No, it did not.
At any point. That is
like,
a
you
thing
know,
that
now,
didn't happen.
Like, I mean, it's kind of funny because that could give Carib an out, you know. Or that could say to Carib, like, no, it's a feature, not a bug, you know.
Yeah, that's sad.
Their idea of surround sound is to put
left and right
speakers all around. There's no surround speakers. It's
just... Listen to this movie. Absolutely.
It's just mad.
Damian, we're going to open our own theater.
Yeah.
And it's going to be better.
That'd be good. I'd go to that theater.
Yeah, I think in a couple of years, I might have made enough money to get it.
that's what you'll do. Like, the night that the theater is the slowest... That's the night that you'll show the Damien cut.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
People will Light walk out and be like, I've never seen that movie. That was a good movie.
Hey. Yes.
10 years later, they see it on TV. I don't remember that scene being
that
in the movie.
That didn't happen in any of them.
Yeah.
I saw
this is the worst
the
version
yeah.
of this movie.
I saw the movie in the theater, and it was great. This, I don't know what this is.
How is
subtitles
The Matrix
are
5 hours long? Yeah.
What?
The Matrix is 3 movies? Wait, what? I don't know what you're talking about. I've seen the one.
Yeah. Yeah, but this movie is great.
I'm more upset now that he explained to me that, like, the thing I was expecting is going to be even better.
And the sad thing
That's
for me,
infuriating.
The sad thing for me is I'm not going to quite get that when I'm at home because I know you have your surround system
right.
but
you
I
have
don't
headphones.
Have that. I do but
you have
I
headphones.
Don't use them
but
for
you,
TV.
You should.
You have real good headphones.
Yeah.
I like when we saw La La Land in Inimoscope. I remember carrying that at home. I remember watching that once at home and not only was it in proper CinemaScope at home. Listening to that movie at home, like, part of me went, I think I might like this movie. More, but
you can't say that in front
of
me.
Can't say that in front of Andrew. And then I watched it a third time, I went, no, I'm fine. I'm straight with this movie.
like, I got you on some horror films,
yeah.
And you can't come back with
Damian,
La La Land.
Iran.
Yeah, that part, that Iran joke is almost perfect. But, like, Baby Driver, it's so good. I'm still right now tempted to go and watch that movie again. But it is just being pushed back. There's just this giant pushback by this place that I never want to go again. Although I'll be there tomorrow. No, Spider-Man, right? Spider-Man comes tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Next week.
No, I realize I can't do Fridays.
Yeah.
Because it's a... absolute nightmare.
Yeah,
I like going on the date homes because it's usually empty.
Yeah, me too. Wednesday and Thursday are the best days to go out here, at least.
Yeah, it can be Monday or Tuesday because that's the 2-for-1 night.
The only time you're screwed is when it's just a huge crowd pleaser, like
Fast
and the Furious.
Yeah.
Don't ask me why, Ryan, but I doubt Spider-Man is going to be that huge crowd pleaser out here as much as it's going to do well.
The market is weird and always has been.
Yeah.
But then you do get... I got the spectacular lady who asked if there were any more tickets left for Great Gatsby. Are there tickets left for Great... I just was dying with laughter outside. Because she lives in a world where Jamaicans are going to full-on theater.
Well, she was probably the same person that wanted to go watch her team.
Oh, no, that's a different person. The person that wanted to watch a team is illiterate. I would have never heard of The Great Gatsby.
The A Team.
A Team.
I still like my coworker on Silence.
You're a terrible person. You knew better, Andrew. Andrew, you knew better.
Wait, sorry. Why do I not remember the story?
All right, so my coworker messages me one day, and he knows that like I buy my tickets online. I don't go to the theater and like join a line if I have to. I just buy the tickets online and I show up. I pick up tickets and I walk in. And he's like, "Yo, Andrew, I want to go to this movie tonight. Can you buy me 2 tickets for Silence?" And I said, "Sure, I'll buy you tickets. I'm happy to see someone is going to go watch Silence." And then the next day I go to work and he comes to me and says, "You couldn't tell me." Like, he tells me that apparently he was going to the movies with this girl and literally the theater was just Fast and the Furious and then Silence. And then he asked the girl, like, "What do you want to watch?" And she's like, "Just not Fast and Furious." And he's like, "All right, I guess we'll watch it in Silence."
Yeah.
Oh. Date nights and Silence. Good. Match made in nowhere.
Ask the podcast, like, what was your first date movie? I would have so many questions for that man. So many questions.
He was not a fan. Nope. I don't think she was there.
I wonder why.
First of all, if you pick to watch a movie called Silence, I think you should be punished. I mean, I don't consider it punishment, but I'm a strange beast. But, you know.
Listen, Andrew, you knew what was about to happen. Right? If it was a situation where you hadn't seen the movie, right? You knew what the man was in for. You didn't go, "Listen, dog."
He didn't tell me it was
you. You want to watch? You're going to want to watch Fast and the Furious, right? Listen, don't bring any woman.
Wanted to reaffirm their physics or something, man.
Oh my god. Well, 2 more tickets for Silence.
The only 2. Is there anything else anyone wants to bring up before we head on to Pineapples or
no?
Pineapples?
Yeah, we've put into place a code word for our sub podcast.
Okay. Our musical podcast.
Our dance hall podcast. Which is Pineapples.
try to contain your shock. I've been reading.
Mm-hmm. Shock. Nope. Amazement.
Yeah. Take a look at my Instagram and you'll know. But no, I thought I'd bring it up because I know Andrew like knows this. So I read comic books. Andrew, once many moons ago, asked me why it was that I liked reading stories about gods as opposed to most of the Marvel stories where they're much more grounded and, you know, like much more relatable. So I was like, okay, maybe I'm approaching this incorrectly. Let's read about some of these more grounded stories and see if anything grabs me. And so to take that to a very far degree, I decided to start reading Hawkeye.
Oh, I saw you picture that one. I love that Hawkeye series.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, it's kind of funny because Lindsay looks over and she's like, "Okay, wait a second. You have 6 Avengers to choose from, and the one you're reading about is the guy who is useless if he loses his weapon."
Yep.
And the funny thing about it is, so not only is this actually a story about a normal, grounded superhero, but the arc that I'm reading is the one written by Matt Fraction. So he's kind of got this cheeky sense of humor, and he's dialing it to a whole other degree where he knows how useless and how silly Hawkeye is. So there's all kinds of like long tangents where Hawkeye is bothered by inane shit. So like there's a series of panels that comes up where they're in the aftermath of some kind of mission. And there's Hawkeye, Wolverine, and Spider-Man are having a conversation. And Wolverine and Spider-Man are talking about some TV show. And Hawkeye's like, "Guys, I haven't seen it yet. No spoilers." You know, and so that kind of thing. Like, that's the life of Hawkeye, is the rest of the Avengers have seen television that he hasn't seen yet. And he's got to, like, cover his ears and hum. He brings over Iron Man to, like, help him hook up his entertainment system because he can't figure it out. Because, I mean, really and truly, if this is the kind of hero, this would be, like, the daily challenges that he faces, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's actually surprisingly good just to see one of the superheroes and the mundane shit that he's got to deal with.
Talking about our conversations about these comic books, I mean, I am like a pleb in the world of comic booking. I had always read some of these comic books as a child because my father was a big Marvel fan, and he would like buy Spider-Man comics and Thor comics, and I'd read some of them, but let's say none of them really took other than, oh, I now know who Spider-Man is, right?
Right.
It wasn't until I think that comic came out, so that was probably around 2012-ish.
Thereabouts.
And I started buying these comics digitally. Which is how I consume all of my comics now, pretty much. I mean, I had bought some physical volumes, so like I actually own all of the volumes for Preacher, which is a great comic. But like right now, literally any comic I'm reading it digitally. And that was maybe the first comic I started reading when I started this new wave of reading comics. And yeah, I really like that Hawkeye series by Fraction.
It's they've really got a great sense of humor. I first came across Fraction because I read Sex Criminals last year, and I got into that. So when I was like, wait a second, the guy who wrote those books wrote some Marvel books? I need to read this. Damien and Douglas, have you heard of Sex Criminals?
Yeah, I've actually read the first couple of I almost said episodes, couple of issues of that comic. And I remember liking it, but not moving forward with it for one reason or another. It was fun, but it's always back that I read it, so I can't even really remember much about it. Oh, I'm sorry. Just that they stop time or something, and they play a lot with that. Right?
Yeah.
I
think I've mentioned that one to Damien.
Yes.
Have you given it a try?
I started reading it, but my monitor is far away.
Yeah, that annoys me now that I have a tablet, but my tablet is straight up broken. Unless it's physically plugged in, it does crazy things. And so I can't read the comics on them. And if I don't do that, I'm not reading comics on my phone anymore. Mm-hmm. And as you say, my monitor is too far away. Right. So there are no comics being read for the foreseeable future.
I have to turn my monitor the wrong way and then tell Windows to reorient itself 90 degrees.
You're missing out on
still far away.
You're missing out on a couple of things, though, because first of all, if you still subscribe to the retail experience, bringing a book like Sex Criminals to the cash register, let me tell you the judgment that comes your way.
Well, yeah. First of all, there is no retail experience for that in Jamaica.
Nope.
And actually, one of the reasons that I read all of my comics digitally is to avoid import tax.
But the other funny thing is with Sex Criminals, so I got one of the bound volumes that actually gathers together three of the graphic novels. So it's like a hardcover coffee table book that costs like $50, but it's... a year and a half's worth of it altogether. So the funny thing is, I get this book and I'm thinking to myself, I could actually probably get away with reading this one in the coffee shop because it's got a dust jacket. I could take off the dust jacket and people wouldn't know that I'm reading a book called Sex Criminals, and I would have like no judgment, no guilt, no nothing. I'm good. I'm smart, right? No. I take off the dust jacket, and underneath the dust jacket of Sex Criminals is a picture of a dog with the title "Down Boy, Euthanizing Pets for Beginners."
Yep.
So why didn't you immediately go outside and take that book with you? I would have paid to see the looks on people's faces.
Didn't you get the dog park or something? Yeah.
Yes.
And I'm like, there's no.
It's not about killing dogs. It's about sex criminals.
Right.
Calm down.
Yeah. Oh, they could stop.
Oh, officer, I'm arrested. I'm sorry. It's a comic book. Oh, that doesn't help. All right, fine.
No, it doesn't. No, that was the thing. Like, I had my hand on the dust jacket. I was just pulling it off, and I'm thinking, there's no way. Like, right even before I saw it, I'm like, there's going to be something stupid underneath this. My hope is in vain. And, like, the second I pulled it up, I'm like, yep, there it is. This is the one thing I love about hard copies, is little shit like that.
No, like, I definitely have a place in my heart for hard copies of things like that. What one of the comics I'd really love to have
The journey that comes with buying them.
Yeah. The hard copy of is the Tom King Vision series, if you haven't seen that, if you haven't checked that out. That was for the last year or so. And because of that, I decided to try to start reading the Batman Rebirth thing that he wrote, which everyone's been talking about. But I haven't started that one yet.
I have a question. Hard cover books are heavier than tablets, right?
Yes.
And they only hold one comic at a time?
Yes.
There's no way to download more comics.
What you could do, right? What you could do is you could get the hardcover, cut out the pages, and then put a tablet in it. And then it could do the things you're talking about.
Does it come with apps? Does the hardcover come with apps? Like, can I get Chrome on it?
Yes.
Is there a headphone jack? My real question is there a headphone? Can I listen to music when I'm not listening to reading?
We're past headphone jacks.
Oh, so it's wireless. Bluetooth.
Bluetooth.
All right, cool. Now I should get one. How much did that cost? $50? That's not bad. So it's like a Kindle, but worse. Sorry.
I hate you.
It's a single-use Kindle.
Oh, okay. Also, it's garbage. I hear that they burn well. When you light them on fire, okay, that's great. That's, you guys are lunatics. Hey, we invented a super book that goes on the internet and listens to music. Or we could kill more trees. All right. I vote kill trees. All right. Great.
You know that problem that Douglas was just talking about he can't listen, he can't use his tablet, but it's not plugged in? I don't have that problem.
Yeah, you know what problem Douglas doesn't have? When he's done reading the book, he can also use his tablet to do other things, like check the internet and watch movies.
You know what? My book, it keeps my coffee table very level.
Right. Right.
My book is not falling over anytime soon.
And when you need a next book, say you want to read something else, what happens? You just download the new book to the old book?
No. I go to the store, buy another book.
Oh, so you have to leave the house?
Yeah.
Oh, then you've already lost me. I don't know. Sounds terrible.
Yeah. I have to tell Andrew,
I don't know if you noticed or not. Last week I watched Howard's End, and the guy dies when the bookcase falls on him. And I was like, you know, I think that's like number two on my ways to go.
Oh boy, I have nothing. I'm not going to talk about anything. Mm-hmm. All right, we've gone pretty long so far, so we can.
And
start
there are
pineapples
to be discussed.
Exactly.
And black and white television.
So guys,
tequila.
We are moving into a segment of the podcast. First of all, Andrew has opted out of.
Sometimes.
Bad songs.
Sometimes he tries to come in.
No, but we don't let him. Yeah. But I truly do not understand how we got here. Because...
I can't tell you how
we got
here.
Nope, shut up. You're not a part of this podcast anymore.
Someone cut his mic.
It's just me, Damien, and Ryan right now. But we're going to talk about this fella, Johnny Osborne, and his just banger... called Ice Cream Love, which is apparently the 33rd best dancehall reggae song ever made. And I suppose that's
on a
right.
List of,
what's that?
On a list of 20.
On a list of 50, unfortunately.
Sorry, I was having a moment there. Your co-host joined me for a talk about Out of Sight. Mm-hmm. And that's one of my favorite jokes is, you know, it's like, this guy was number 19 in the prison system. Number 19 out of what, 10? I always love that.
Yeah. I remember not liking that movie at all.
Oh, you're so wrong.
I might be. It's been a long time. I think the last time I watched that movie, I was in high school still. So it could be a refresher. Yeah.
In love.
Yeah. But, you know... As far as I'm concerned, that movie is in the same boat as The Golden God. It, you know, it's not good.
Speaking of not good.
Love in the winter should be warmer than the summer sun. But if you're giving me an ice
scream love, little girl, that's no fun. And that is why I say, because my love is warmer than a chocolate fudge. I say my love is warmer than a chocolate fudge.
But yeah, this song, right? I really don't. So, the article. There is an article about this song. And it says, let's see, let's keep moving. First of all, it quotes Little John, which...
that's the way to start an article.
I'm hoping that this is just another name for Johnny Osborne, as opposed to the rapper who, you know, turned down for what? but my God, apparently they talk about how there's a metaphor of love and sweet dessert and the loping and lovely rhythm. I listened to this song and I was mortified. First of all, it sounds like every other song, every other reggae song with a dub sort of beat. And the lyrics are literally, this sounds like it's one of those goofy songs. It's one of those Weird Al songs where they're intentionally trying to make fun of something that existed already. But when you find out that he's not, that he's actually being sincere, that makes it all the funnier. Because he doesn't want the ice cream love because that's too cold. He wants it to be warm because his love is warm like chocolate fudge. Now, that, yeah, that in and of itself is just the funniest thing ever. But I would have to say that I'm at least happy. I'm grateful that at no point were there any, say, Naughty Buddies referenced in this song, mm-hmm. because that could have led us down a deep, dark path.
How does he not mention cherries at all in this song? Like that's
because he lacks talent.
I mean, that lyric writes itself. I came up with that, and I'm you know.
Right. It's because you're better than him at a thing you don't do for a living.
But what did I ask you guys when I listened to this before the show? I was like, wait, is this supposed to be good?
Well, and then, somebody thinks like, it is.
Is this serious?
Yeah, I don't understand how this is on any list. How anybody even knows about this song. I've never heard of it, and for, I think, good reason. But
It's the kind of song that, if I was reading this list in reverse chronology, like if I was going from 1 up to 50, if I got to this, I would just stop and not even ask what was 34. You know? It's kind of like one of those days when you're reading down on the news and you get to like a really, really dumb story and you're thinking, no, I'm not going any further. There's no way. If that was the second headline of the day, number 3, not going to be any good.
The news is awful.
Yeah.
Pretty much. So that's what I'm saying. Like if I was if I was reading this list in reverse order, I would not get the Sean Paul Give Me the Light, because I'm like, nope, it's just not going anywhere after 33, after Ice Cream Love. We're done. We're done here.
Give me the light. Apparently Damien hates that song, and I'm sad for that.
Don't like Sean Paul.
I like Sean Paul.
Congratulations.
I like that song. Do you like that song, Ryan?
Yeah, it's okay.
Fair enough. It's a shitty poppy song. I'm fine with that.
But the symbolism of the undesirability of ice cream. It's too cold. Can't you see? Served Osborne well later in his career too. I hate this man and his shitty list. I enjoy dancehall more than everybody else in this room. More than I have any right to. Go away. And I've never heard this song. And that is impressive because I've been places where they explicitly play music from this time period. They ignore all of the latter songs and they're just like, listen, we don't play this kind of music enough. Heineken Star Time was one that did it for a long time.
Yeah. And well, it's still around. That
yeah, but they don't do that anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they play, like, they trend old, but there's not a hard cutoff anymore. Mm. Plus, as the years roll by, somehow 90s, like, copper shot is now part of the golden oldies, which is horrifying. But I have never... I have spent enough hours listening to music from this time period that I should have at least once have heard this song, and I have never heard this song. Because this song sucks. I was going to look up what else Johnny Osborne put out, but by the time I was finished listening to this song, I didn't care anymore. Right? I don't want to know what else he put out.
I imagine if you drop him into Google, I would imagine it just comes back with nope, nothing. Yeah. Sorry,
not today. No,
yeah,
no. Google something else.
It's right up there with googling Google.
Yeah, they should do that. Like when you Google something stupid, they should just go not today, though.
I did that one time. I googled Google and I was like, what the hell? I almost expected my computer to shut down.
Like, just type google.com into Google.
This technology, sir.
And you're
you have to look up what you are looking up.
Yeah.
Step away.
And I was like, yep, nope, you're on our list. You understand that, right? Like, Google has you flagged.
Yeah. and I should be.
Yeah. It was like, no, we know your type.
Yep.
I hate this song. And I hate this list.
Yeah. It's pretty upsetting. Repugnant and repulsive.
It is upsetting.
But back to Ryan's original point, another observation, how is it that this guy didn't start talking about, you know, caramel, like brown caramel,
Douglas,
or something?
Because
like that.
He sucks.
They write themselves. I could probably write this song just looking at that title.
Douglas, there are 90 million ice cream puns that can be made and written into a song, and he chose one. Hot fudge. That is it. That is all he could come up with. Because he sucks, Douglas. He's bad at it. You heard the song? Mm-hmm. It's like garbage.
It's kind of, like, you know, the thing is, it's too bad at least that the beat isn't good, because a lot of pop songs are pretty dumb when you just look at the words, but at least it's like, you know, you got a catchy hook, or you got a banging rhythm or something like that. It's everything else fails about this, that you're focused on the lyrics.
And the thing about this beat as well is that it's essentially the template for all songs in this genre, right?
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, I started playing this. I was like, oh, I've heard this. Oh, no, I haven't.
Exactly. Right? It sounds like every other song. Well, every other shitty song from this region of time, right?
I've never heard it.
Yeah. Man, this...
I can't wait for next week when you guys talk about number 34.
Well, actually, we're going up, so we're going to talk about number 32.
Oh, okay. That one looks more promising. Yes.
Well, I mean, yeah.
There's only one way to go, man. You don't go up. You can only go up.
No. I have to get to the bottom.
Climbing the ladder.
Get to the bottom. You're not on this podcast.
Still can't talk?
Go away.
Yeah.
We have to get to the bottom of this list. Huh? See, I'm already better than Johnny Osborne.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I know what word plays.
Yep.
Right?
Is that Scrabble?
Yeah. You're better than Johnny Osborne.
I mean, he didn't even put his ice cream on cake. I'm sure there is some sort of...
Oh, my God.
Or pie?
So, that's the... You guys are just enjoying this ice cream.
I'm not enjoying this at all. I'm so upset.
There's ice cream downstairs we can eat.
Oh, damn it.
I think that's going to be the end of the podcast. This depression.
Like, thank you for saving me.
Like,
sorry.
This depression is just a strange way to end the podcast where we spoke about so much joy.
Yeah. Right.
Like Baby Driver.
And then hardcover books for some reason.
Yeah. Hey, don't do it. We're not going back there.
I thought we were talking about the joy of Okja.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The joy of wanting
more. Bacon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we end it off with ice cream.
Bacon and ice cream? Yeah, that could work.
Of course.
Yeah.
Just put some chocolate too, and then it's perfect. Chocolate and
then
bacon.
You'd be dead. Yeah. Like,
well, but you'd die happy.
I mean, I guess you could watch Baby Driver and cure the cancer that would eventually give you.
So, Ryan, where on the internet can the people listening find you?
Well, if people still want to find out about books on paper, you can go to Instagram, matinee_CA, where I read like hell. And you can see if you can – I dare you to keep up with me.
Yep.
You can go to the matinee.ca where I write about film. The podcast, the Matinee Cast, is on every podcast platform you can think of. We'll be dropping a new episode on Monday. Well, it'll probably have dropped by the time this episode comes out.
It'll drop same time-ish.
Oh, how about that? So we'll be talking about The Beguiled, the new Sofia Coppola movie.
Oh, I so want to watch that movie.
Nope.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Someone told me that's a remake of a Clint Eastwood film.
Yes, it is. You didn't know that?
I didn't know.
It what?
Is. Yeah. Yeah. But they scramble the narrative slightly, and they basically make it more about the women, where in the Clint Eastwood movie, there's more going on outside of the central story.
It's weird how usually when I hear that, like, I gravitate to going like, oh, I can watch that. No, let me watch the original. No, and then I'll get to that. But somehow I want to not watch the original and just get to the Coppola film because that looks really awesome.
And Coppola is the greatest ever.
You said which Coppola?
Sofia.
That's the one I made, The Godfather 1 and 2?
You know what? If it gets you to watch this movie, then
it
yes.
It won't. Because I know what she's made. She made Nowhere?
Where do you fall on Gia Coppola?
Huh? What's that Gia Coppola?
She Palo made... She yeah.
Did you see Palo Alto?
She also made another one before that, right?
I don't remember.
Like a crime type
thing. I only know Palo Alto. I don't know anything else. I think maybe there are some shorts that I might have.
I actually know Palo Alto as the fellow Pineapple Express. What's his name?
Franco is in it.
I think she made another movie. Some crime.
Maybe.
Murder type movie.
So no good to Gio?
Listen to me. There's only one Coppola and he made two Godfather movies.
So yeah, they'll be hearing...
No, that's not true. The other Coppola also made some rock movies as well.
I heard a rumor that he made a third one. he's got it like in the vault, you know? It's like he's been working on it for a long time. Like it's his Chinese Democracy.
It's the same people that think there's a fourth Indiana Jones movie, but I don't know what they're talking about.
it's like there was supposed to be that second Kendrick Lamar album that came out a week after Damn. It's like that.
Yeah. I remember when everybody was going crazy about that. They're like, yes, there's a second album.
Something about three more episodes of Star Wars movies. And like, dog, I don't... These people, I don't know. I think it's Kim Jong-un seeding fake news.
God. All right, guys. So everybody, go and listen to Ryan talk about The Beguiled, and I'll continue to be jealous that I haven't seen it yet.
One quick question: is there any way where I can get a transcript of the Matinee podcast, like hard bones, in like a book? That's a career.
Oh, damn! Come on.
All right.
Funny, but I hate you.
like earlier, Damien was breaking on like horrible, and I was kind of trying to lean him off. But that one, I'm sorry, that was
pretty
good.
Yeah, man.
And that's going to be the end of the podcast. Or go listen to Ryan's podcast. Yeah, as always, you can hear more of us over at gmatthews.com.
I'm like 4 weeks behind on this
podcast. Thanks so much for listening. And good night.
Across the floor. Whoa, 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 I can't stand it no more.
Shake, 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 do the monkey.